Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I hope you're ready for the latest, greatest home improvement information you're going to hear anywhere. You're at the right place. And boy, do we have a lot lined up for you. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're going to talk about one thing that's a style of houses that have changed quite a bit. You've been in those houses. Maybe you live in one of these houses where you walk through the front door, and immediately to your right or left is a sunken living room. Sometimes they sink them way down and call them a conversation pit. You don't see that much anymore, do we, Joe?
No. And what they're actually should be calling it is a tripping hazard.
That's right.
Come on into our tripping hazard living room.
Yeah, because people come in the front door and they go, hey, how you doing? Bam! Oh, boy, I bet that hurt. And so anyway, there's over the years, we've gotten several calls from homeowners saying, what do I do? How hard is it? Hey, we've got some great solutions if you're dealing with that situation around your house. Also, leaky windows. There's a lot of things that happen when that rain is pouring down, and windows can be one of those areas that allow entry into your home. We'll give you a few things to look at there. Also, Joe, different areas of the country have been just bombarded with rain here in the Southeast.
Yes.
Certainly, we've had our share of rain. And you have people that have drainage issues, and really it's hard to determine on a solution to some drainage issues because it's just, unless you have your builder's level, your transit out there to really determine the flow of water, it's hard to determine it. But I'll tell you what, you put on your rubber boots and your rain suit and your umbrella and let it rain and walk around that yard a little bit. You can see how that rain is thinking then.
Yeah, we often talk that that's the easiest way to determine like where the water's coming from, or if you have a leak, you know, where the leak might be. But yeah, if you get out in the rain and you start seeing where the water is either pooling up or where it's coming onto your property, sometimes it's just being, you know, dumped onto your property because of the way the land is slanted or not slanted toward your property. But yeah, that's the best way. Because once you determine that, then if you call a professional out, you can give him a head start on how to solve the problem so he doesn't have to look around and try to figure it out. Because it's hard to figure out on a nice sunny day when it's dry.
Yeah, it certainly is. And a lot of times on those nice sunny days, it's hard to imagine any problem around your yard or your house or windows, roof, anything like that. So it is good to observe it when it's really pouring down rain. But we've got a lot lined up for you, all kinds of emails, all kinds of phone calls that'll be coming in from all over the country. Also, we'll have a simple solution for you in a little bit. Joe, give us a little idea what we can expect.
All right. Smoothing caulk is not always that easy to do, especially with high quality caulks because they seem to be thicker than they used to be. But I've got a slick trick. And the key word there is slick trick for smoothing out caulk.
All right. Well, everybody can benefit from that, trying to tighten up the envelope of the home, trying to make that bathtub look a little better. All of that needs some good caulking tips. That sounds great. And you can reach out to us anytime. We want to hear from you. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anytime you'd like to ask us a question, make any comment about something that maybe you heard or you would like to hear, let us know and we will respond to as many of those as we possibly can. Same way with emails. You can send us one. todayshomeowner.com/ask. You know, my buddy Joe Truini he's a busy guy, does a lot of writing and has for many, many years, doing a lot of things with Yelp now. And
yeah, that's right.
You know, yes, Yelp does, you know, have a lot of home improvement content out there. Popular Mechanics, Joe's been working with them for many, many years. But you're also, in addition to being a host, the host of the Simple Solutions segment on our national television show, I understand you've got another little gig coming up here, the History Channel. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the History Channel. The History Channel this weekend is premiering a new series called The Tools That Built America, which sounds really interesting. I think it airs on Sundays in most markets, and it's going to run for, I think, eight or nine consecutive Sundays. And it's essentially, as the title implies, it's about the different tools that help build this country and continue to build this country. So anyway, because I've been writing about tools and using tools most of my life, and the producer of the series, contacted me and asked me to appear. So it's going to be a couple of snippets of me talking about tools.
Excellent.
The history of tools. It's actually pretty interesting. I think it's going to be a really interesting. They got a bunch of people, men and women, who really know a lot about history, more than I know about the history of tools, and they're going to be talking about all those different tools and machines.
That's always interesting, though, when you see the evolution of tools, when they started. A lot of times a tool is created for one reason, but ends up being known for another reason. So
that's
you have
right.
a lot of those situations. I know I visited up in New Britain, Connecticut there many years ago when the Stanley Works Company there was celebrating some, I don't know if it was 100 years or 150 years.
Probably 150, yeah. They've been around since 1800s.
And they showed me the very first tape measure and also the very first razor knife. And it's just kind of funny. It was in this big, dusty closet kind of thing, and I thought it'd be like in, you know, like a Smithsonian type of presentation.
Right.
So that was very interesting. A lot of other tools that we saw there and everything. So that's great, Joe. I'm glad. I'll look forward to that on Sunday and check out
the
History Channel. Now, another thing Joe has been working on here recently is an article about pro painting tips, and I thought that would be good. Joe, I understand you've got 12 quick tips.
12 quick tips.
If you're doing any painting, you tend to fall back into same habits when you do a project like painting or whatever that you might take on.
Right.
But listen to some of these tips and see if that can't make your next painting project not only a little easier, but to get more professional results. So share those with us, Joe.
All right, Danny, here are the top 12 pro painting tips. First, buy the best, meaning buy the very best paint, brushes, and rollers. If you buy cheap tools and cheap materials, you're going to get a cheap-looking job. Number two, clean dirty surfaces with a degreaser. First of all, some people don't clean the surface at all, but if you're going to clean the surface for a painting, use a degreaser. There are several of them on the market. Cover the furniture and move them to the middle of the room. You know, the painter doesn't want to do that. So cover the furniture and set it. You don't have to lug it out of the room, but just move it to the center of the room. Use canvas, not plastic drop cloths. Danny, do you want to interject something there?
I was just going to mention, when you are covering the furniture, I found that it's a good idea to cover it with two layers.
Okay.
And because, you know, the lightweight plastic or some of the things that you might use can get torn very easily. But and, you know, you might be sanding and prepping a little bit. It's going to have a lot of airborne dust going around. So it's always good. And plastic, especially the painter's plastic, is very lightweight. It's pretty inexpensive.
Right.
So you can cover the whole thing and tuck it under the couch or sofa or whatever you're doing. And then put another layer on it. You'll be glad you did when you're doing all the cleanup afterwards.
Right. So use the plastic for covering furniture, but use canvas on the floor because they absorb spills. And if you spill paint on plastic, of course, it doesn't dry. You'll step in it and track it through the house. Remove your electrical plates. We shouldn't have to mention this, but believe it or not, people are painting around electrical plates.
Or painting over them.
Or painting over them, which is even worse. Yeah. So remove those. It'll be a lot easier to paint the walls around them. Sand away any flaws. You want to paint jobs look best when the surface is perfectly smooth. So sand first, remove the sanding dust before you paint. Now use painter's tape, right? So you want to use painter's tape, not masking tape, but to get a really watertight, a paint tight seal is you want to press the painter's tape down with a putty knife just so it adheres really well. Otherwise paint might bleed out from under it. Use a tinted primer. If you're using primer, tint it. The term is tint it toward the color, meaning if you're painting the wall blue and you're using a white primer, put a little blue paint in there. It'll make it cover up. The top coat will cover much more easily. Eliminate brush marks and brush strokes with a paint extender. Most people know it by the name flow trawl. It just takes all, you know, it allows the paint to flow out and even out much more consistently. If you're buying more than 2 gallons of paint, box the paint. That's the term where you mix paint like 2 or 3 gallons in a large bucket because there's a slight change of color, difference in color between paints, believe it or not. And paint one wall at a time, meaning you want to cut in and then paint immediately, because most people, what they do is they cut in all around the room and then they paint the walls. But what happens, of course, is the cut-in area is dry and then you're painting wet on top of dry, and you can often see where you cut in. And don't bother using a roller tray. They're a pain in the neck to work with. You step in them. You can't move them without spilling paint. So take a tip from the pros and work from a bucket. Get a large bucket and a painting screen, or it's called a painting grid or a painting screen. You hang it in the bucket and you just roll you dip in your paint roller and you roll it against the screen to remove the excess paint. and it's a lot easier to move around and to paint the room because you're not dealing with a little tray.
There you go. Great article there. Then that where will that appear, Joe?
That's going to appear at Yelp.
Oh, okay.
Yelp.com. Yeah, most people know Yelp for the restaurant reviews, but they're carrying a whole lot of content about home improvement and finding a contractor in your area.
There you go. Some great tips to be able to get those professional results. Hey, I'll throw a few more in there. Good lighting. Make sure you have really good lighting. And take your time when you're painting. You know, that's going to last a long, long time. So you want to do a good job. Take your time and enjoy it. And oh, by the way, crank up the jams. You got to have some good music. You know, whatever kind of music that you like when you paint, go ahead and crank it up and have some good time making your house look just the way you want it to look. Thanks a lot for that, Joe.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, coming up, if you have a deck or a patio and you're just not able to use it that much because it's just too hot, maybe a little shade, inexpensive shade, will make that place a little more enjoyable. We'll tell you a little bit more about that and a whole lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. We're just getting started, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, the right tools means more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. That's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool. For any project, start to finish, this isn't just DIY. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea. Brought to you by Woodcraft.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. And by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where we air all over this great country. We're now on 330 radio stations, including this very nice station, a great group of people there in Vero Beach, Florida, WTTB AM 1490 and 105.7 FM. Special hello to everybody in and around the Vero Beach area, and you can reach out to us anytime because we want to answer your questions and help you with any challenges that you may be having around your home. You can reach out to us very easily, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by calling the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. If you'd like to send us an email, we would encourage you to do so at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to visit with Bonnie down in Florida, see if we can help her out with a unique situation. Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
Well, tell us about this because, you know, the old term conversation pit is, I think of a lot of houses I've been. We were actually out at a trade show and rented a house in Las Vegas, and I swear I thought it was a swimming pool because it was about 5 feet deep and had little seats around it just like you would have in a swimming pool. And I don't know, maybe it was an indoor swimming pool at one point, but it sure was an odd little conversation pit. So you have something similar to that, I understand.
That is correct. When we bought the house, it had this pit. It's about 2 feet deep and about 10 feet wide in a semicircle. And the children loved it. They had parties, sleepovers. This was the hit of the neighborhood. But I was always concerned from a safety standpoint. And so now the children have moved on. We're empty nesters, but it's time to fill in the pit. It's just, but I guess it was very popular back in the day.
Yeah, it was. You know, you think about some of those trends and that people, you know, love the sunken living rooms and things like that. But then so many times we've had to help people fill those in various ways because people kept tripping. You know, you would come in and say, hey, how you doing? And bam, there goes another one. So so you realize that has to change somewhere. Well, okay, well, let me ask you this. The rest of the floor, is it concrete or wood?
It's concrete, and then, of course, we put some tile, covered it with tile, and then portions of it are carpeted, too. So it's a combination. But I think my biggest concern is now, how do you feel? This is a very unusual request when you call in people to make a bid. They're like, what? What is this?
Yeah. Well, you do have to find the right person to do it, because if they've been around a while, they've probably encountered it a time or two. We always recommend that if at all possible, to match the floor. You know, if you have concrete around it, it's best that you have concrete here, even though in some cases where you have a sunken area like that, you're able to fill it in with wood. But the problem is, you know, you're walking on this solid floor, and all of a sudden you're going to feel something different. It's going to sound different. It's just going. So if you can get concrete in there, the better. Now, if it's 2 foot deep, of course, you would want to fill in about you really only need 4 to 5 inches of a slab there. So you need, you know, 19 or 20 inches of fill dirt. So a packable type of dirt, whatever's in your area, if you request that. Then the difficulty, of course, and the challenge is going to be to get that from point A to point B. Is this area anywhere near a entry door?
No.
Okay, so it's more in the center of the house. So that'll be the tricky part in finding a way, because just about everything's going to have to be wheelbarrowed in.
Right.
And so, you know, you would have the dirt delivered, you know, wherever the closest entry point to the house is, to where the pit is. And then basically it's just good old-fashioned labor to load up that, you know, to load it up manually in the wheelbarrows, push it in. And then as you're putting it in, you put 5 or 6 inches in, and then you pack it thoroughly. You can use a and how big did you say this is approximately?
It's a semicircle, 2 feet deep, about 10 feet across the widest point in the semicircle.
I see. Okay. Well, that's a fair amount of work there, but I mean, I don't know anything other than just manual labor to be able to get that in. But, you know, to put the clay in or whatever packable material you have, crushed stone is also an alternative. And but basically you put it in what they call, you're packing it and putting it in what they call lifts. So you're basically putting in about 6 inches, packing it, you know, compacting it sufficiently, put another 6 inches, do it again, that type of thing, till you get it up to the point where you're ready for the concrete to be poured. And it's also suggested if you can put some small rods, some rebar, kind of drill in one side of the existing slab and into the other existing slab. Put a few of those there that kind of help to unify the new concrete and the old concrete.
Oh, okay.
And you'll just have to get on the phone there and maybe call some of the remodeling contractors in your area that have run into this. And you may also want to consider having the area, when you're putting that dirt in there, have your termite company that has your termite bond come out and pre-treat that as well. Even though it's a small area, it's still one of those things that you don't want this to void your contract with your termite company. So I would do that before the concrete's poured. So
okay.
It's a fair amount of work, but it would completely change that room that you have there, make it into a more traditional style.
Right. I think we want that usable space, even though the square footage won't change. I think having it all one level is, we're ready for that. So, yeah. These are great ideas. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And I hope that works out really well. And also hope you have a great weekend coming up.
Oh, will do. Okay. You guys be safe. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie. You know, Joe, it is funny. I mean, that's an unusual one there. When I think about a style of house like this, I think about a Florida style house, you know?
Yeah. And you know, though it's 2 feet by 10 feet or whatever she said, you know, they're not filling a swimming pool. So if
right.
they had to bring it in 5 gallon buckets, you get 4 guys, they could fill it up.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
It
yeah.
might take 4 hours instead of, you know, if you could pump it through a window or something, it wouldn't take hardly any time at all, but it wouldn't be that big a job. And then what I would recommend is, you know, when she puts down the new floor, I would probably take up the old floor, the old tile, and tile the entire space, but first put down an uncoupling membrane, especially over that area, because where that will really pay off is over that area where you've got that now patch. Because if there's any cracking or settling, the uncoupling membrane will prevent that from from migrating up into the tile floor and affecting the tile floor.
A very, very good idea. Let's get to an email here. You can send us one anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came from Susan in Iowa. There's a tongue and groove wood plank ceiling in our living room. It's stained dark brown and has a coat of polyurethane over the stain. We'd like to brighten up the room, but would rather not rip down the wooden planks. Do you think we could paint over it? I'm afraid the paint might not stick to the old polyurethane. Thanks for any of your suggestions. And by the way, we love your show and listen every Saturday on KXEL 1540 in Waterloo, Iowa. Special hello to everybody there in that part of Iowa. What do you think, Joe, on, there's a little preparation here necessary, but she can certainly brighten that room up with a little paint.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Susan, you have to prep it so that'll hold the paint will stick to the polyurethane. And all you do is sand it really lightly with a pole sander, which you can rent. And if you don't have a pole sander and you happen to have a sponge mop, you can just wrap the sponge in sandpaper and use that. That was a simple solution I shared. And then really important, then wipe off all the sanding dust with a damp rag or sponge, and then apply a primer and then paint it. Now the challenge, of course, will be painting into the little V grooves. So you might have to, use a brush, because a roller might not get in there, but you could paint those with a brush quickly and then roll the whole ceiling. That's what I would recommend. I think you're right, Danny. Use a nice light colored paint, it'll brighten up the whole room.
And you can go to todayshomeowner.com and put in our search engine there, painting dark paneling, and there's step-by-step videos and all the information you need to make sure that that's a success. Susan, thank you for that email. And again, you can send us one at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Coming up, we've got some shady ideas for you and also some information about a very interesting type of smart home device that you may want around your home. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Sometimes it seems like we're not smart enough for our own smart home gadgets. Some have remotes, some have voice controls, and some have apps. Lots and lots of apps. That's what makes the brilliant Smart Home Control Panel such a great idea. It's an in-wall touchscreen control panel with built-in Alexa voice control that makes it easy for everyone to control popular smart home products like lighting, cameras, locks, garage doors, music, and climate control. It simply replaces a 1-gang to 4-gang light switch panel in the room or rooms where you want to add easy smart home access. It works with tons of smart home products, including Alexa, Google Assistant, Apple HomeKit, Ring, You, as well as Honeywell Home, Ecobee, and many, many more. The panel includes a built-in camera with privacy shutter, a built-in motion sensor, and the touchscreen doubles as a digital photo frame. All of this while it consolidates control of multiple smart devices into one control system. You can manage manually from your phone or with voice commands. Pretty intriguing, and technology is really making things a lot easier and a lot different for us around their home. So if you want some more information on this brilliant smart home control panel, head on over to HomeDepot.com. Just they're raising the bar. We're actually researching smart home devices right now to go into Chelsea's Ranch Revival, the project that we're working on right now at Chelsea's house. And so that might be one I'll advise her to consider. Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it, Joe?
It doesn't. She can program it so that you can't get into her new house.
I'm sure that's the first one she would do. So, well, good. Let's go right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Remind you, if you'd like to give us a call, it's pretty easy, 800-946-4420. That's what Catherine from Alabama did.
We're having a very unusual problem at our house, and we just really don't know who to call. We have a window in our kitchen area, and every time we get these heavy rains, not every time, but occasionally, It leaks inside the window. It's not coming around the outside of the window. It's coming inside, and we're not sure if it's coming through the bricks, coming from the roof, or how the water is coming in. And we've had it caulked. We've had some chinks in the brick filled in. We've had it repaired once, but we're still experiencing this problem.
Well, I tell you, Catherine, I can hear the frustration in your voice, and it is very frustrating when you have just can't quite find a leak there. We hear that quite a bit. There's a lot of things with a window. I mean, first of all, it's an opening in your wall. And if you don't have any overhang or any significant overhang, then you're going to get, you know, the introduction of a lot of rain, blowing rain against this, opening in your exterior wall. One of the things that you may want to check on, one of the ways that we talk about roof leaks sometimes is to try to make it leak. So have someone with a water hose very methodically on the outside, someone else on the inside with a good flashlight or a bright light, and then start right at the bottom with that water hose and spray right along the bottom of the window. Then slowly go up left side, go back to the right side, and see if you can just make that water leak, make that window leak. And then usually the bigger problem is on the header of the window. If it hasn't been caulked properly or flashed properly, then that's where water can possibly get in. So if you do that and it does not leak, then it kind of eliminates that as an option, and you have to look in the adjacent areas. But it can be very difficult. And Joe, I know we've seen situations too where maybe someone blocked there's a little drainage trench at the bottom of many windows, and whatever reason, that may have been sealed up, someone caulking too much or just, you know, maybe some of the brick mortar got in there. But of course, not all windows have that, but a lot of times that can allow water to migrate into the house.
Yeah, because usually once the water gets to the bottom of the window, you're not concerned about trying to stop it because you want it to drain away. And sometimes if you overly caulk that area, the water can back up because now it has no place to go and it might find its way into the house. Catherine doesn't mention what type of window this is, whether it's a casement or a double hung or slider, and that might be part of the problem. So I would, as Danny suggested, try to force water in so that you can see where it might be coming from. And it might be as simple as weather stripping. You might have to replace the weather stripping because, of course, that's exactly what weather stripping does. It stops the weather from coming in. Because it doesn't sound like, she even says, it's not coming from outside the window. It's coming through the window itself. Mm-hmm. So, I would check it. You know, just make sure the weather stripping is intact, not folded over. Sometimes it gets crimped and gets folded over, and now it's not creating a tight seal. So that's what I'd recommend. But I'm pretty sure it's the window itself, not the area around it.
Hey, right now it's time for our Around the Yard segment, sponsored by Pavestone. This time of the year, we spend more and more time outside, but for many of us, it's downright hot in July. So finding some shade for our outdoor living spaces is a big priority to a lot of people. Now, if you just don't happen to have a perfectly positioned tree over your patio or deck, here's some ideas that may give you some relief from the summer sun. A pergola or arbor is the first thing many people think about when they want a little shade, but most of these structures don't actually provide much of it on their own. Those vertically oriented boards are across the top really look kind of cool, but they only block the sun at just certain angles. However, if you plant some climbing vines around the perimeter of the structure, in time they'll create a canopy over the arbor that provides you plenty of shade. If early morning or late afternoon sun is a problem in your favorite spot, you might get some relief from a vertical hanging screen. The big decision here is whether or not you want to be able to move the screen when the sun isn't intruding. Lattice panels are great for fixed screens, but for a movable option, you might consider a rolling screen that works much like a window shade on a larger scale. I've seen people make shade curtains from drop cloths with some pretty good success as well. But by far, the easiest and most popular way to produce shade is hanging a fabric shade sail over the space. These are available in a variety of sizes and shapes and colors, and depends on your situation on which one would be the perfect addition for it. The important thing to consider here is the tie-down locations. Be sure they're sturdy enough to support the shade in the wind and allow some way to be able to retension it, since it inevitably will begin to sag over time. Several options to provide you some shade, and this Around the Yard segment brought to you by our friends at Pavestone. Coming up, we're going to be talking about some difficult drainage issues. There's a lot of times that maybe buildings are not built as high as they should be, and that causes a lot of problems. And when it rains, you should be relaxing. You shouldn't be worried about whether that rain is going to get where it shouldn't get. So we're going to talk with the homeowner about that, grab some more emails, and a lot of other information coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Keep the bugs out and let the fresh air in with Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door. It's a quick, affordable solution for outdoor living spaces. The durable mesh is easily installed and can be attached to the inside or the outside of your existing door frame with no tools needed. It works on single or sliding doors, and the magnetic closures make it easy to walk through when your hands are full. Learn more about Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door at duckbrand.com.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Metal roofing is durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient, making it one of the best choices for today's homeowners. They often last 50 plus years and can protect your home from extreme weather. With styles and colors to suit every taste, metal roofing is definitely worth considering. Want to learn more about metal roofing or find a contractor near you? Check out the Metal Roofing Alliance at metalroofing.com. While you're there, be sure to enter the Metal Roofing Rave sweepstakes and you could win a $100 Home Depot gift card. Visit metalroofing.com today. In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here along with my co-host Joe Truini, and we're knocking out a lot of challenges and problems that homeowners have from all over the country. Right now we're going to head to Virginia, see if we can help Russell out. Russell, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Tell us about this situation, a little frustrated drain situation, I understand.
Yes, sir. We purchased our property over 3 years ago, and I've got a detached three-stall garage that's in a low spot at the bottom of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one corner of it where water collects. And I've called in a contractor to do some landscaping around it to try to drain it off. And I'm looking at putting in a trench gutter across the two garage doors. I have one at the other garage, and it works pretty well. But I'm afraid this one might overwhelm in a big rain, might overwhelm the trench.
Mm-hmm.
And I already have some leaking in there in the building. Mm-hmm. In a heavy rain. Probably 6 to 10 months ago, we got 15 inches of rain at one time.
Oh, boy, that'll do.
Wow.
That'll do cause all kinds of problems. Well, the garage, of course, is on a concrete slab, I assume.
Yes, sir.
And then the outside walls of the garage at that particular corner you're talking about, what's the outside of the garage?
Vinyl siding.
Okay.
And at the top of the, it'd be the forward left corner. It's on block, it's on a slab, like you said.
Right, right.
And there's the landscape, the land above it just drains right to that spot. That's a definite low spot.
I see. Well, and do you have a driveway leading up to it? What type of driveway do you have?
I've got a downhill driveway, and I had that improved, and the guy that did it for me put a little ditch in that area to try to divert some water before the concrete.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I think that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
But once it hits that concrete slab, it's got some momentum and
sure.
Sometimes runs into that part of the building.
Well, I tell you, of course, any kind of drain that you put there, you've got to have some way of having it, you know, an escape route. It's got to be able to drain to a safe area. Do you have some place adjacent to the garage that's a little bit lower than the garage, maybe the back of the yard or side yard?
Yes. Yeah, that's what the contractor did. He tried to divert some of the water down that way, and then I've got another driveway into another garage door.
I see.
And I was losing that concrete slab there, so he went around that concrete slab and created a drain.
Okay.
And that's not working out too well.
Well, we've had a lot of, I've had a lot of experience, as well as my co-host Joe Truini has as well. And we've had a lot of success using the trench type drains, or channel drains are often called, because you can get them just about any size. I had some at my previous house that were about 6 inches wide and about 8 inches deep. And boy, it handled a tremendous amount of water. Joe, doesn't that sound like probably the best scenario here, even though it sounds like it'll require Russell to cut a little of that concrete right in front of the approach to the garage?
Yeah, more than a little, Russell. But yeah, I think the channel drain would work. Now, it would work, but you have to make sure you keep it clear. And unfortunately, you know, when rain washes down, it washes down leaves and debris and pine needles and who knows what else. And that'll get, if that gets clogged up on top of the channel drain, the water the water will run right over it, and you have the same problem. But I think ordinarily the general rule is when water's running off a hardscape, meaning a driveway or sidewalk, something like that, you use a channel drain. When water's pooling on a surface, like pooling in your backyard someplace, then you use a French drain. It sounds like you might have a little bit of both problems, but if you put a big enough trench drain and maintain it, meaning keeping the openings on the top from getting clogged, it should handle water. Now, with all that said, these systems are only designed to handle normal rainfalls and slightly heavier rainfalls. You know, if you're going to get 15 or 20 inches of rain coming down in 2 hours, there's nothing you can do to keep that rain out. So I think doing, you know, some grading of the property, putting in the largest trench drain, maybe even two trench drains, a French drain if you need it, would go a long way to solving this problem. And you can also, if it overruns that, they do make extra thick gaskets you can put on under your garage door. And there's even a piece that gets glued down to the floor of the garage that you'd wind up driving over, which is an issue. And that might help seal out some of the lighter water. It won't hold back, you know, a foot of water, but it'll keep some of the water from draining underneath.
So would you call that maybe a diverter or something?
The one under the garage door is just a heavy gasket. A diverter would be something that would block the water and then shoot it off in one direction or another. I've seen in driveways like halfway down where they dig a slightly shallow trench right into the asphalt. They mold it into the asphalt and it's slanted. And so when water hits that, you hardly even, it's like the reverse of a speed bump, kind of, right? And water hits that and channels it away before it ever gets down to your garage.
Wow. This has been really helpful. I I thought the trench drain might be my best solution, but this has really helped me come up with a solution that might be doable.
Great.
Good, Russell. Glad to help you on that. It is a challenge when you have that kind of construction. And it's something to think about when you're doing a building in the yard. Make sure you think about 15 inches of rain coming down. Make sure that water will not get in there. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with a great simple solution.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Brought to you by Woodcraft.
Doing it yourself doesn't have to mean all by yourself. With the Home Depot as your partner, doing's never been easier. You can pick up skills online in a virtual workshop. Pick up what you need fast from easy in-store pickup lockers. Even have it delivered same day. Oh, and if you don't have time to tackle a project, our home services can do it for you. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Chelsea Lipford Wolf here. If you're a fan of great before and afters, you need to check out my ranch revival. Dad and I are renovating my 1950s ranch-style home inside and out. You'll get the scoop on everything from simple curb appeal updates and painting projects to energy efficiency improvements and rearranging walls. Find out more at todayshomeowner.com/ranch revival. Brought to you by American Standard, Armstrong Ceilings, Geldwin Windows and Doors, Rockwool, and Wetwall, a Wilson Art Company.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, North America's leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
Hey, if you're having a hard time beating the heat of summer, we've got the solution. It is Keep Your Cool Week here at Today's Homeowner, brought to you by our friends at American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. It's time to give your air conditioner the TLC it deserves, and we've got the expertise and the advice you need to do that very thing. We've put together a collection of our very best how-to videos, simple solutions, and insider tricks to keep your home nice and cool and your energy bill in check all summer long. All you need to do is head over to todayshomeowner.com/keepyourcool and check it out today. Now, while you're there, be sure to check out all of the Keep Your Cool Week special podcasts that we have there. It is just chock full of great ideas and tips, everything from reducing those summer utility bills to AC maintenance tips and a whole lot more. Again, that's todayshomeowner.com/keepyourcool. And a special thanks to our friends at American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for sponsoring this week. Great information, great service, and certainly a lot of things that can help you keep your cool all throughout the summer. Right now, we're going to switch gears, throw it back over to my buddy Joe for our simple solution.
All right, Danny, here's a slick trick for smoothing caulk. What you want to do is fill a plant mister with water, then add maybe a teaspoon of liquid dish soap. Then gently swirl it just to blend the two together. And now apply the bead of caulk as you ordinarily would. Then lightly mist the bead with the soapy water. And immediately smooth your finger across the bead to get a nice even bead. And what happens is the soapy water will allow your finger to glide across the caulk, creating not only a smooth even bead, but you won't be pulling. Sometimes if it's really thick caulk, you might pull it out of the joint. Now this will work, obviously this is only when we're talking about an acrylic caulk, you know, one that's water-based and 90% of them are. But if you're using a silicone sealant, 100% silicone, or some other solvent-based caulk, the same trick will work, but instead of using water, mist it with some denatured alcohol. And you don't need the soap at that point, but just a little mist of denatured alcohol. Spread your finger across. You get a nice smooth bead every time.
Oh, that's a great idea. Really good. Another good simple solution. You can find out and see over 500 other simple solutions by going to todayshomeowner.com/simple solution. Joe, have you ever tried one of those little plastic caulking tools that have, you know, one shape on one end and one shape on the other? Have you tried that? What do you think
about those? I have two or three, and I think I tried one once, and I didn't really see how it worked any better than my finger. And plus, then I could never find it when I needed it, so I think if you're doing it all the time or if you have a big job, it might be worth getting. Because it has, you're right, it has like on each corner might be a quarter inch mm-hmm. diameter, uh-huh. or quarter inch radius, and an eighth inch. I guess I would try it. I'm not sure. Again, I have five fingers on one hand, thankfully, and each finger's a slightly different radius, so I just pick the finger that works best.
Well, Chelsea just used one on caulking with a polyurethane type caulk that she used around her brand new tub, and
right.
boy, it looked good. It looked really, really good. I hadn't talked to her to see, you know, how easy or hard it made it, but anyway, it's always something worth a try. Hey, that's going to pretty much wrap up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. I want to remind you, you can reach out to us anytime, 1-800-946-4420, or you can send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, hey, no worries. Go to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a single thing. We really appreciate you spending this time with us. I'm Danny Lippard, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.